Oh, wow. Okay, so the Bears were finally able to get a win, thank God, against the Carolina Panthers. And I know some people are probably saying, well, really, does that make a difference? But it was against the Panthers. And I was happy that night because Deontay Foreman, who I had on my fantasy team, he came to play that night, and I knew he would because it was his old team. So now the Bears are, I want to say, 3-7, and we'll talk to my buddy. He's hanging out. It's Chris Bleck of ESPN 1000 in just a minute. Actually, I think that was kind of like less than a minute. It was like really quick, wasn't it? Chris, good afternoon, sir.
What's up, Devontae? How are you? Everything
is good, man. Everything is good. It looked like he had froze there a little bit. Can you see me? I can see
you. Yeah, I got you.
Hey, man. Chris Bleck, a buddy of mine. Chris and I, we've known each other for years. We had the opportunity of working together. He's doing great things over at ESPN 1000, and we listen to it. It's Chicago's. Come on. ESPN has been around for a long time, and you are doing a great job over there, my friend. And when you get a chance, say hello to my buddy also as well, Abdallah, and then Hood, my friend, my good friend Hood. I got a chance. I was at a party hanging out with him. It was like a reunion we had, and I got a chance to see him, and it was good seeing him, but it was also good seeing you. And I want to kind of get right into it, man. Talking about the Chicago Bears, and we talked about this win that they had against the Panthers. Yeah. Here's my question. What should the Bears do with Justin Fields at the end of the year?
Well, Devontae, I think the answer, the question is worthy to ask, but I don't think we have an answer yet. I think what is going to happen is over the course of the next 7 games, Justin Fields has an opportunity to prove himself. You know, we've seen him play really well at times. We've also seen him struggle a lot. And, you know, this is a quarterback who was a young quarterback who I don't know if you can consider as being a young quarterback anymore. He started over 30-plus games in the NFL. We're heading towards the end of year 3. At some point, it has to click. And I think that's where the next 7 games, I assume that he's going to be back for the Detroit game next week. They have a little bit of an extended rest here because they didn't play over the weekend. They played on Thursday night. Like you said, they beat the Panthers, and Fields didn't play in that game. I would imagine for next week, he's going to play against Detroit. That would leave Justin Fields 7 games to finish out the season. Now, it's up to him. If he wants to be the face of this franchise, he wants to be the quarterback that's here with the Bears for the future, Devontae, he has to go out and ball out for the final 7 games. And I think that is, if we had to set odds on how likely that is to happen, I would say it's probably somewhere around like 30%, only because we haven't seen him play consistent, good football enough. We've seen like little pop-ups here and there, and that Washington game earlier this year was awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for him. I hope he is the guy, because that makes life a hell of a lot easier on us if we have a quarterback. But sometimes it just doesn't take. Sometimes guys just don't have it. And it seems like the problem with Justin Fields to this point this season has been something wrong with his processing in the pocket. It's not that he can't make all the throws or he's not athletic enough, because he is. He just, there's something when he's in the pocket, he seems to like freeze up. And when he does that, the offense like bogs down and they're not successful. And so I don't really know how to answer your question, Devontae, because I don't think we have an answer yet. He has an opportunity to go out there and play well, but chances are it's not going to happen. And the Bears will be taking a quarterback in May in the next NFL draft.
And which I was going to get to also, and I'm going to go back with what you mentioned. There were times, and we know it, Chris, that he had, you could see him. I mean, when 2-week span, where he threw like, what, 8 touchdowns and only won like 1 interception. Yeah. Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, the inconsistencies, and then, you know, the some of the press conferences where he came out, and, you know, that was the early on stuff. And everybody was saying coaching, or is it coaching, or is it Eberflus, or, you know, what's really going on with that? But, you know, Bajan steps right in, looks pretty good. Looks like he can move the team pretty decent. It has a really good rhythm. And just kind of figuring, like, this guy, you know, Justin, but, you know, this is what's so crazy. Justin Fields, no longer a Bear, right, goes on somewhere. It always happens with this, you know, it always happens, and so ends up in the NFC Championship game somewhere. I don't know. So it's on some other team. But, bro, we got to do something. This sucks. It really does. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, as a Bear fan, and I know how you feel, and I know how other Bear fans feel. Just people just, like, here we go again. It's like almost looking like at the same Bears of last year, almost. Almost, and this is like, are these the Bears of last year? Like, what has really changed? And I really thought going into the season that we would look much better than what we have looked, and it's just not happening. I'm like, man, we're not going to – it's not – is this a bad dream? This is like a real – this is a nightmare. And, Chris, you alluded to it, so – and I want to kind of pick up now where you said, because now we have an opportunity to maybe pick up some really good picks. Who should the Bears draft with their 1 and 2 picks in the NFL draft? And I know people are talking about Caleb Williams, and I know a lot of this guy's throwing a lot of interceptions, though, too. And a lot of people are talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., who looks really good. Your thoughts?
Well, I think if that's what it comes down to, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is definitely someone that the Bears should use one of those picks on. Now, again, back to the Fields thing, if Fields doesn't prove it, so you're going to use a draft pick then on a quarterback. Like, the problem with that is at the start of the college football season, people were raving about Caleb Williams. Raving. Yeah. You know, last night against Oregon, he didn't look great. No. He had another fumble where he was holding the ball loose in the pocket, trying to dance around and make a play happen. He fumbles the football a lot. And here's the one thing that I don't think Bears fans understand. There was a lot of hype around Caleb Williams. He won the Heisman last year. He'd start off this football season really well. He is smaller than Justin Fields. He's 6'1". Fields is 6'4". Yeah. So if you think that Caleb Williams is just going to show up in a Bears uniform and be the next Patrick Mahomes, I have other news for you. That I don't think that's the case. I think Caleb Williams is a quarterback who could have success at the next level, but he has a sloppy style of play. He takes a lot of risks. He can make all the throws, but he's also someone who looks better when he's a front runner. And what we've seen with USC in the last month is that they've been behind and he's looked bad. And so, like, you got to ask yourself as a Bears fan, what type of scenario is Caleb Williams walking in here with? Chances are this team sucks still, and you're going to have a quarterback who I don't know is the type of guy that is the type of guy that wants to turn the franchise around. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could be being here for like a year and being like, I don't want to play here. This team sucks. You know, this franchise sucks. I don't want to have to deal with this. So I think that's where, you know, dreaming and wishing and hoping for that top draft pick, you know, it can only take you so far sometimes as a fan, because you also have to accept the reality of what you have, and that this team is not going to be good next year, apparently, because I agree with you, Devontae. I thought this team would be much better this season. Mm. You know, I was just watching the Houston Texans beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
The team got over like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, watch that game.
Team with a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback, and they are fighting. And they're 5-4, and they're playing great football. And they may have found their head coach and quarterback combination, D'Amico Ryans, and then also with C.J. Stroud. They look awesome. And so, like, that's where I look at this Bears team and I question, you know, did they do the right thing hiring that Eberflus? Is Justin Fields a quarterback for the future? And then if you have to pivot and draft that quarterback, like, then we have to start considering, is Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina, a better option? Is maybe Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback from Washington, who's having a great year, is he a better option? I'm just not sold on Caleb Williams to the extent that he is the absolute best prospect in this class. because he's really struggled in the last month or so of football for USC.
Yeah. And it's noticeable too. And especially like you just said, like last night, what about Marvin Harrison?
Dude, he was a stud. Did you see him yesterday? Yes. Multiple touchdowns, over 100 yards again for Ohio State. That's crazy. Where having two picks in the top 10 should benefit the Bears, because they need to go out and get Marvin Harrison Jr. And then pair him with whoever they determine is that best quarterback. But yeah, yesterday, Ohio State over Michigan State, 38-3.
Yeah, he was outstanding. Outstanding. But man, Chris, we talk about this all the time. It's so crazy. Like, it's always the same thing with the Bears, though, right? Yeah. It's like on every – you guys talk about it. You know, every sports network, you know, Chicago is talking about it, you know. And it's almost like it becomes – it's worse than being old. You know how the term – oh, that's old. Like, this is older than old. This is, like, older than crap. And then it's really bad. You know, Virginia McCaskey, right? She's what, 100 and she's there. She's up there. She's and I don't know if Sister Jean and her are like, I don't know. I think Sister Jean is older.
I think they're in the same bridge club.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, and then she's still, Virginia still goes to some of these games. It's like time after time. You know, and you think about like, oh my goodness, and the poor fans, bro. You got to think about the fans. You know, we're in it. You know, but it's like it gets old. And like you see other teams prospering and doing great things. And then you look at your team and you say, we don't have a bad looking team. But I mean, and then, okay, we signed this other guy, Montez, to what, $98 million? Yeah. Did he even have a hand in Bryce's? Like, did he even, I didn't even see his name show up.
On the stat sheet, he did not have a tackle or a sack. He did have three quarterback hits, and I think they credited him with 8 pressures. Okay. So, yeah, technically he didn't have a stat, but I thought he played all right. And, and I think his impact should allow the others on the defensive line to really to get home and get after the quarterback.
Yeah. I think we're going to be good. I think when, I don't know that question. I think that we're going to be, I mean, hopefully, you know, I think we will hope to be good, but man,
when you figure that out, let me know. All right.
I am, bro. And you know, like it's been, I'm gonna be honest with you, the whole week I was thinking like going into, you know, what really messed me up? Daylight savings time. Like I am still kind of trying to adjust to that. And it's bad because I'm waking up now in the morning eating dinner, and at night I'm eating breakfast. I mean, I don't know, bro. It's like, and then, and, I feel like we're gonna wake up out of this whole thing, but just the adjustments. And I think the Bears need a lot of adjusting. What about coaching? Chris, you mentioned it. You mentioned Eberflus. What is going on? Is this guy going to have a job at the end of the year or what?
You know, I don't know. I think the one thing that we can kind of point to is that he is coming up on the worst 2-year start any Bears coach has ever had. You know, it's worse than Tressman. It's worse than John Fox.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's where Bears fans look at this situation. And unless with 7 games to go, you know, unless the Bears roll off 5 or 6 wins out of 7 games to finish the season, I don't see a scenario where he's back, only because – like right now, he's like 6-21 as a Bears head coach.
That's bad.
Like, you can't be that bad for that long. Like, and that's where I brought up the comparison to the Houston Texans earlier today. They hit the bottom of the pool in 1 year last year, and now they're rising back to the top. Mm-hmm. And are they a championship quality team? No, they're not. But I think the difference is, you see improvement. I don't know if we've really seen too much improvement from last year to this year. It really seems like it's kind of the same exact team that we saw last year. And last year, they were technically trying to lose to have the best draft pick. This year, they're trying to win, and they still are in the same spot. So I think that's the concerning point. And I think that's where Eberflus, much like Justin Fields, with 7 games to go to finish the season, has a lot to prove.
Yeah, I agree. And we just want to see some wins. And you said we got a tough one coming up. I mean, we play Detroit.
Yeah.
Really, we play Detroit, and we know how they're playing. We know what that team is built up. And I mean, that coach, you know, I mean, he's done a great job there. And it's like, he's like, his team has, it's like, it's like, you see Campbell, you see this guy, you see yeah. him on the field, but we know, but I think it's a great looking team, man. I don't like Detroit. I can't stand them. I can't stand Minnesota, you know, I can't stand Minnesota, and I can't stand Green Bay. But I think that something needs to happen. Hopefully we'll see. I mean, it's almost like the whole wait and see thing again. Here we go.
Detroit is, I think they're really good. I would have them in like my top five teams in the NFL right now. Wow. And I think that's where you see Dan Campbell and his mm-hmm. style really shows off, right? They want to be aggressive. They want to be tough on the lines, both the offensive and defensive lines. And that kind of allows like this style of play where they're very aggressive. They run the football and they tackle well. And I think that's where, you know, that's a very blue collar NFC North style of football. Mm-hmm. And that travels too. You know, it's not just, you know, we need perfect conditions to get this done. It's, we can travel on the road. We want to hit you in the face. We want to run the football up the middle. Like mm-hmm. stuff like that, I think really works. And like, unfortunately, that's not something that our Bears do. And I think that's why Detroit's the best team in the division. But I also think, like, you know, Devontae, there's been a lot of talk with Jim Harbaugh. If Jim Harbaugh would be a good option for the Bears in the future, if he were to leave Michigan, you know, he's dealing with this scandal now, this cheating scandal. He's suspended for 3 games to finish out the regular season. He missed the game against Penn State. Like the one thing you know about Jim Harbaugh teams is that they are hard-nosed, they tackle, they play mm-hmm. good defense, and they run the football. And you saw it yesterday against Penn State.
You're right. Even without him being there, well, I'm sure, you know, he was able to coach the team. But you're absolutely right, dude. That without, I mean, they just are amazing.
Yeah, but isn't that exactly the style of football that Chicago Bears fans would want?
Man, you know, what? I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it, but that would be like the perfect scenario, and that would be the perfect, seems like to me, a perfect fit for us and an identity. He would bring that identity, what you're saying, to the team.
Yes.
God. You know,
Has he won a national title at Michigan? He hasn't. So, like, I understand there's some people that are like, you know, he's not the end-all be-all, but you mentioned it. The Bears right now don't have an identity, and I think he would bring in an identity to the team. And that's the, like, hard-nosed way that I think Chicago fans would really rally behind, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And, man, bro, you just put that – you popped that in my head, and I'm going to be talking about that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But you mentioned this Detroit team. I'm going to piggyback to that because I want to kind of talk about the Chicago Bulls. But this team with David Montgomery also coming back, so we're going to see him coming back tonight. He's been, like, amazing for that team, like, just running the ball. Like, wow, we had that guy. All right, he wasn't, you know, but now it's always like when I mentioned, a guy leaves and they go on and they prosper and they do great things like David Montgomery. But we'll see what happens with that team tonight. But what, they could even probably, bro, and I know this is crazy, they're the team, Detroit can actually be in an NFC championship type game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If I had to guess right now, I mean, what we saw San Francisco do earlier today, going on the road at Jacksonville and just blowing them out, I thought San Francisco maybe wasn't as good as I thought they were probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. They've lost a few weeks in a row. Brock Purdy hasn't looked great. But I think today was a huge win for the 49ers. They're going to be in the conversation. Philadelphia is probably the best team in football right now. They've found a way to win every game. AJ Brown is almost unstoppable. Jalen Hurts is playing well. And that defense gets after the quarterback. Riddick does a good job getting after the quarterback. They've got good defensive line players. So I think Philly and San Francisco are the top of the NFC. But right below there, I would put Detroit, maybe Dallas. Mm-hmm. And at this point, like, that's probably it in the NFC. you know, somehow Minnesota continues to win without Kirk Cousins.
Oh my God, Dobbs looked great today.
Yeah, but like you know, outside of those like four teams, Philly, San Francisco, Detroit, and Dallas. Mm-hmm. I think that someone from those four, that's the group that will give you your Super Bowl participant from the NFC.
Those are pretty good picks too, bro. We'll see. Yeah, I'm in line with that. I do want to move on though. I want to talk because I saw a tweet that you made the other day. Let me start with this, and I kind of feel you a little bit. You tweeted, "I'm sorry, but I can't take this in-season tournament seriously with these courts. You said it's terrible. It's terrible, it, bro. It's worse. It's worse than that, bro. I saw, and I'm gonna let you talk about it. But when I saw the first one, we had the red. I mean, I like red. I love red. Believe me, I love it. And I feel like the Bulls, it would have been great if we would have won that game on that floor with the red. You know, it would have been great. We didn't win that game. But it is kind of nuts. It's kind of crazy. I'm trying to get into it. Some of the courts look nuts, but I saw that tweet. Talk about it. Talk about your – are they what, 3-6? The 3-6 Bulls?
Yeah.
Talk about it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like they need to blow the team up. I feel like – I don't like LaVine. I really don't, bro. I don't like – I see teams like the Thunder who are so athletic and doing great things and making the Bulls look like – I'm like, it's so frustrating. Chris, what's going on? In-season thing. Start with the in-season first.
So first of all, the in-season tournament from the NBA is something that I don't think any fan asks for. You know, the NBA is in a situation, right, where early in the year, they struggle with TV ratings. And most of sports today is all based on television ratings. That's all that matters because that's where the leagues make the most of their money is through the television partners. The NBA is going to be coming up on new television contracts in the next couple of years. So their current television deals with ESPN, TNT as broadcast partners, those will be up within the next year or so. So at that point, the NBA needs to have enough to go back to either those partners or others like streaming services, for example, like Apple, Amazon, and to negotiate new television contracts. Mm-hmm. So like the problem the NBA has faced in the last few years is with all that on the horizon, what's the one thing that like most people complain about with the NBA is that regular season basketball is not the same as the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to say it's not. It's not. The playoffs are better than the regular season. But the NBA needs to convince television partners to pony up big bucks for all of it. And to fight the complaining from fans and saying that the NBA, that the regular season doesn't matter, the NBA needs to come up with gimmicks to make fans have interest in a product that they're not interested in. Now, Devontae, I think a lot of this stems from this idea that teams for the last 5 years have been resting players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, the solution is easy. The NBA is a great product when the players are playing. So, like, you know, so far this year, so like there's a new rule where if you rest a player who's deemed healthy, the team and the player can get fined. So to this point, before this in-season tournament thing started, teams were playing their players and the games were great. There's no reason to add a pointless tournament in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, if the stars play, the product's awesome. You know, I watched a game last week. It was Clippers-Lakers. LeBron's out there. Kawhi's out there. Anthony Davis is out there.
Yeah. Was that the overtime game, right?
You watched it, Devontae. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
Good game. So, you know, okay. So that's what the league has found themselves in this spot. So they came up with this tournament. The problem with the tournament, though, is that I don't think fans understand what it is. I don't think the players know what it is. And as a fan, why am I rooting for my team to just win so they can make more money?
Wow. And that's what I was talking about, because it's a lot of money involved in this.
Yeah. So like each winning player will win like $500,000.
Yeah.
Like, what does that do for me? Like, I don't care. They're already rich.
Yeah. And they're already rich. And they're already on a different platform. They're stars. Yeah, they're entertainers. Like, really?
Right. So like the fact that they're playing for money to me makes it silly. And then so like my comments on the court were, because not only are they coming up with this in-season tournament, but they have like special uniforms that teams are wearing. Yeah. And then also they're coming up with these special courts, and the courts look silly. You know, they're like painted all the same color as the jerseys. It just looks like they're trying to do too much. Yeah. And the NBA is great. Have the stars play. The product will be there. It will be awesome, and people will watch. You don't need to do all this other silly side stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. The floors are like, I mean, you're trying to add this one side of the entertainment piece to it, and it's like overwhelming. It's some of these floors, like, it's just like really overwhelming. And I was watching Wimby on, I think they were playing at home in San Antonio, and I was like, I'm trying to figure out the color to that, and saw maybe something that could relate to maybe. I was like, I don't know.
And Devontae, that to me has been a major problem with the NBA the last couple of years, is that when you turn a game on and it's the Lakers and the Celtics, and you can't tell the moment you turn it on that it's the Lakers and the Celtics, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, you expect to see green and yellow in the court, in the parquet. And like, when you don't see that, how is the average fan supposed to know that when the Pacers are playing the Thunder, that the team in blue is actually the Pacers and not the team who is usually wearing the blue? Like,
I agree.
It's way too confusing.
Yeah. Even to like someone that the people that even know the teams, you look, you turn sometimes like, oh, and you're right. Like what you just said, you look at the jersey.
And like, that's where when you flip it on, or you're flipping through, or if you're a young person and you're on social media and you're scrolling and you see two teams playing and neither team is wearing their iconic uniforms, the courts look weird. Like, I don't think that that's going to add interest.
Yeah.
That's just my thought.
I'm with you on that, and especially the incentive where these guys are making this money. Okay, so now we feel like we gotta pay you more now in order for you to get, you know, I don't get that part, but it is interesting. But that Lakers Clipper game that you mentioned the other day, Chris, that was a really, really good game. You know, I'm a LeBron fan. I'm not really a Laker fan. LeBron is like that guy to me. Of course, he's not the GOAT, Michael.
Poor guy's doing it all by himself.
Oh my God, at his age, bro, and his body. And I'm looking like the rest of these guys, and I know they got a lot of injuries and people that when they come to play, but it is amazing. I just wish that we could see something as magical happening in Chicago. And my next question to you is, should the Bulls actually break up the big three? Right. And so, and then what should happen with Lonzo? Should we get rid of this? Like, it's like a lingering kind of thing that hangs on you right there. And it's Lonzo Ball. It's just there it is. It's just like hanging. And so, I mean, I don't know.
Do you have an extra ball hanging?
Yeah, you have the extra ball hanging. You know, that's what it is. You know, because we are coming into that season where we're going to be hanging a lot. But here's the thing, Chris. What should happen to this team, dude? I'm not a fan of this team right now. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't see how anyone can be, because they've been together long enough to prove that they don't win together. And I think that's the thing, is like, there's a lot of people who are Zach LaVine fans. He's got a nice game. He just doesn't win. And that's always been my critique, is that at the end of games, 5 points or less, a crunch time game, he doesn't perform well. And I think that's the problem, is their last contest, he had multiple drives to the basket in the fourth quarter where he just had sloppy handles, was stripped of the basketball, and the Bulls got no shot. So, like, okay, at the end of games, you have to give it to DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's good, but he can't carry a team like he did a couple of years ago. That's just not his game.
Yeah,
he can't. And so, like, to answer your question, with Lonzo Ball, I don't know if he'll ever play again. He says he will. So you got to allow the guy to try and get back and to you, but you can't rely on him, though, to be your point guard for the future. I would start moving pieces. I would imagine at some point this season they will. I'm guessing Zach LaVine will be the first to go just because he's the guy of the most value. Mm. But the problem is once again, they kind of held on to a team that's not good enough. And the Bulls missed out on another generational talent in Victor Wembanyama, which he's been great to this point this season. We went through this whole thing when Luka Doncic came out a few years back. And it's like at some point you have to completely bottom out and get that franchise changing player. And that's the only way they're going to find their way themselves out of this situation.
Yeah. And that's going to be, we got a long season though. I mean, even though we just started, it's a long season and it's just really bad, man. We'll see. We will see. We don't know, but we will definitely see. It's crazy, man. It's really good having you on. Hey, this guy's podcast. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on. Before you go, and I know you're a Chicago dude, and you know, I know you like the restaurants and things like that. Turn me on to something that's any restaurant that you visited brand new that you would say, hey, you need to check this out.
Okay, yeah. Last night we were at Union, which is in Logan Square / Palmer Square.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about it. We went with another couple, and it was great. Great burger. The apps were awesome. You got to check it out. Union.
And so you had a burger, and what else did you have? Because I don't know. You look like you don't look like you eat a lot of fattening foods. I just saw you the other day, and it looks like – really, are you sure this was a beef burger or was it are you sure? Or was it like it was a Wagyu or?
No, I just have to run it off. I think it was actually a brisket burger, which.
Oh, my God.
It was good.
I wonder, are they on Grubhub?
Because
I would like to, because I mean, I'm stuck kind of trying to watch some more of these games and crap. I don't know.
Devontae, it's right off the California Blue Line stop.
Wow, so, dude. Okay,
it's like steps away from the stop, so you can't miss it.
All right, that sounds like a plan. I've got it on my list, bro. I appreciate you, love you, bro, and I'm glad that you were able to kind of come on. We'll be talking again because I mean it's a lot more. We'll have you back on this guy's podcast because I want to talk. You know, I'm not a Cub fan. You know this. I'm a White Sox fan, but I am a Cub fan. I mean, I'm a Sox fan. Oh wow, don't put that out there. That soundbite is gone. I'm a Sox fan, but the Cubs, they seem like they're doing good with hiring that brand new manager, that guy from Milwaukee.
Council.
Yeah, so is this like the turnaround for the Cubs right now or the beginning?
They got to spend some money this offseason. They got to spend some money.
Yeah. I'm hearing like Ohtani. Is that right? I don't know.
I think they're going to go after him. I don't know if he'll choose Chicago, but I think they're going to go after him.
All right.
That would be huge.
That would be, man, I may even start, you know, who knows? No, doubt it. Sorry.
It's not like the White Sox are going after him.
Stop. Just leave it alone. They need to go after something. And I don't want to talk about that yet. But I do want to bring you on to talk about that a little bit later, especially when the season and they do this stuff coming a little bit later on. But thanks, man. Appreciate you, bro. Taking time out of your busy schedule. Before you go, talk about your show. When does your show air?
Yeah, so Black and Abdallah weeknights 6 to 8 on ESPN 1000. You can also check the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find it ESPN 1000, Black and Abdallah 6 to 8 weeknights.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Black, my friend, my buddy from ESPN 1000. Thanks, Chris.